to be with you. My name is Paul, and my wife, Jerry, is over here. We have had the joy and privilege of being married for 42 years, and we work with Salt and Light Christian Fellowship at Purdue. We do that in partnership with you, Grace Church here in North Olmsted, and we're thankful for the support, both prayerfully and financially, that you extend to us week by week, month by month. And tonight, my goal is to share a bit with you. Acts 21, 19 and 20 says that after greeting them, Paul related one by one the things that God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they had heard it, they glorified God. And as Dean prayed tonight, the goal here is to glorify the one who gives us the joy and the privilege of announcing his gospel there at Purdue University. And if I related to you one by one the things that God had done at Purdue, we'd be here for a long, long time, because the Lord has been very, very gracious and faithful to open many, many doors of opportunity to us. And I couldn't begin to tell you all the wonderful stories of sharing his mercy and grace with the students there. We had 13 years of cross-cultural ministry in Italy in various capacities, and that was when we were very young. That was in a long ago chapter of our lives, but it still serves us very well, the experiences that we had there in Italy, as we get to share with the students that we understand what it means to be an international, and we understand where they're coming from and how they're feeling. And so now we're in our 29th year there at Purdue, working among the international student population. Jerry teaches on Tuesdays. She leads a team of teachers for a English corner there at Crosswalk Commons, and I'll talk about more of that later. Our ministry context is the university. It's a secular university, of course, and Purdue University has 55,119 students, and there are a variety of people in the faculty and staff who represent 85 countries of the world. But most notably, we work among the international students, and there are almost 10,000 of them from 130 different countries. And we get to engage with them very actively. And Purdue is quite high on the ranking for public universities for international student enrollment, which gives us a lot of those opportunities in the Big Ten. My friend from Iowa here. Now we're the Big 18, you know. So Big Ten is a misnomer, but we're ranked third for international student enrollment. Some of those top student enrollments come from India, China, South Korea, Taiwan. Bangladesh has moved up on the list significantly in the last year. Colombia is one where we see many students coming from, because they have a short-term pipeline that comes to us from Colombia. There's quite a few interesting different countries where students come from, where really you cannot go and proclaim the gospel there. Our mission statement, really our real focus, is to engage all the nations at the university so that they can hear and know the gospel, and so that they can be equipped as disciple makers while they're at Purdue. And the key point there is beyond. We want them to come and not just be on campus. We really want them to come into a healthy church environment where they're welcomed, and where they can see what a healthy church looks like, so that when they leave, and we can teach them while they're there, so that when they go back to wherever they are, wherever they're going next, whether it be California or Texas or back home, they can take the gospel with them. We want to serve Jesus Christ and his church through meaningful relationships with that university community from around the United States and the globe. And so we get to do that We have an on-campus location called Crosswalk Commons. Interestingly, Crosswalk is the ministry home of Salt and Light Christian Fellowship. We're within maybe 200 yards of Purdue's football stadium. And so it's a very key location. It houses more than 100 students, and it's a vibrant living and learning community right on the campus of Purdue. And we're beginning our 13th year of operation of that ministry center to the glory of God. So we like to say that Crosswalk Commons is more than a place to live, and it is. It has this vibrant environment where students live, international students live with national students, and there's a lot that goes on from Friday night light nights where the Word of God is taught. Many Bible studies take place throughout the week, and then there are dinners in the various units. And the young man in the foreground there, his name is Yao, and he lived there and was invited to come to a Christmas Eve service several years ago. And as a result of coming to that particular Christmas Eve service, we began to meet together, read the Bible together. The Lord wonderfully saved this young man, and he is going on with the Lord now. He has graduated. Praise the Lord for that. And he worked through many challenges to get there, and is now working. So you can pray for him as you think of him. He's a dear brother. We talked that many times our relationships start with a bike. That may sound strange. Once upon a time, we did furniture collection and then giveaway. We did that for about 12 years. And then now for about 12 years, we've done bike loans. So we have about 700 bikes on campus that we loan out. We take a deposit, we loan out the bike, they give the bike back, we give them their deposit back. And so there are just a constant stream of students. And since COVID, this has been a very, very good way for us to engage students. We have students coming through our building daily to get either a bike loaned to them or have it repaired. So that's I don't do any of the bike repair, but that's we have people who do, and we're thankful for that. So we go from initial contact by a bike serving the students in that way, to then we will do an activity. This activity was a trip over to the Air Force Museum down in Dayton, Ohio. And quite interestingly, we have this couple that were from a very hard to access country. When I went to pick them up, I thought, oh, well, this is going to be a very interesting day. And it did turn out to be that. We had a great time getting to know these folks. They invited us, the husband and wife invited us over for dinner just like the next week, very spontaneously. We ended up eating in separate rooms. My wife and his wife and me and the guy ended up eating in separate rooms. Invited them to church, and he said, well, I'll be interested in coming to church and seeing your church. And so we were able to invite them. But he says, only on a day when there's no meeting. So we arranged that so they could come and see the place where we worship. And as a result of that particular day, we were able to take the stained glass windows in our auditorium and explain the gospel to them. And we spent 3 hours together that day reading, talking about the Word of God and the gospel. On the way home, we passed by where my mother lives. And she was sitting outside, and so they asked if they could meet my mother. So there they are with their newly received Bibles in hand that they had asked for while they were at the church building, and they got to meet my mother as well. So my mother just turned 93 last week. So we also have taken trips. We took 23 trips to the D.C. area. This is a whole group of Colombians that went with us most recently. And these opportunities just stir up a lot of times of conversation, of getting to know people. But most importantly, it gives us opportunity to then sit down and open the Bible and actually point them to Jesus as we read his word together. We did that 5 nights that we were in D.C. Together. Most recently, this past Saturday, actually the guy in the middle with the hat on, he is a farmer, and he invited us out to his farm, and everybody got to ride in a combine and a tractor, and that was a really big day for all of these students. The student just over the right shoulder of the guy in the red shirt, he is from Saudi Arabia, and been spending a lot of time with him, just talking to him about the gospel, and have had many, many good conversations. There are people in this photo from China, India, Saudi Arabia, Taiwan. So this was a smallish group that we took out to this farm, but we had a very profitable day. And, you know, several of those people were in church the very next day. A lot happens around our dining room table. These are moments when we have people into our home and share hospitality with them. And this is a couple from Brazil that we had over for the 4th of July. This is a couple from China. They're back in China now. My coworker just went and visited them a few weeks ago. This young man's from Colombia. And he, interestingly, really had a relatively bad relationship with his father. And through our time together of reading God's Word, have had many, many good opportunities of pointing him to the Heavenly Father and encouraging him to trust in him. This is a couple from Peru. They attended very regularly on Sunday mornings. He's now a professor down in Texas. I believe she's back in Peru. And so our values are really serving the students through relationships. We do the Bike Lung program, as I already described to you. This is a couple from Ukraine, and we've had a number of different refugees that have come across our paths from the Ukraine, and we've had the privilege of ministering to them. The English Corner takes place every Tuesday and uses a Bible passage as the centerpiece of the curriculum. It's a 3-hour-long class to improve English, but each week there's a reading from the Scripture and comprehension questions that are discussed and gone over. And out of this class, we've had many students that have taken the opportunity then to read one-on-one with one of us or a volunteer. This guy, he's from Iran, dear guy that every week wanted to read the Bible. He was in the English class as well. The International Friendship Program is a program that the university runs, and they encourage local volunteers to sign up and have a student assigned to them. And so each year we sign up and just have the university assign us a random student, although we know that in God's plan it's never random. This year I have a student from Indonesia, and he dragged the kid in the red shirt from the farm trip the day before. Last Saturday, he didn't have a host family and wanted one, so I said, "Well, sure, bring him along." So he came along, and we've started a relationship with him. This couple is an interesting story. We had them over for dinner a couple weeks ago. They're also from Iran, but they live in Turkey, and it's just fascinating. The Thursday night before Easter, the man was playing soccer. The lady and her little son, they were watching him, and she went up to one of the Salt and Light students and said, "Could you tell me the true meaning of Easter? How do you like that for an introduction?" So this gal, she couldn't have found a more willing person to tell her the gospel. And so this gal, one of our resident advisors there at Ambassadors at crosswalk, she explained the entire gospel to this lady and said, well, if you really want to know more, why don't you come to church? We have a Good Friday service. Why don't you come to that? There's a free meal afterwards. And so they showed up to that. And then we said to them on that night, why don't you come on Sunday morning? And they came back to that. And then after that, we said, well, what, would you like to read the Bible together? And so every Tuesday afternoon, we read the Bible with this couple. We've gotten through, I don't know, most of Genesis so far. They're going to be leaving here on the 2nd of January to go back to Turkey, where he's a professor. And so you can pray for them. And they've just been very hungry, and their observations about the Scripture are absolutely fascinating to hear. They really, really have engaged extremely well. So the gospel interaction takes place all the time. This is, again, this is on the back patio of Crosswalk Commons. This is our coworker on the right, Sarah, and she reads weekly with a number of women. And then we try to teach. We also want to teach people who can teach. And so this is a dear brother, member of the church there in Lafayette, teaching the Genesis to Jesus class on a Sunday. His name's Jesse. He's from Taiwan. He's a PhD student and has been very faithful in teaching God's word. And then, of course, we love it when people come from unbelief to belief, from darkness to light. And so we love to see that happen, and we love to see students profess their faith publicly in the waters of baptism and join the church. This is a gal who now is from South Korea. She's now, we just went to her wedding earlier this year. She's now a professor down at North Carolina State. And the Lord, no doubt, will use this gal. She sought us out from her very first day on campus, and it was a joy to watch her grow in grace. She called what she experienced at Salt and Light her Christian Yale or Harvard. So anyway, she's a very dramatic young lady, but we love her dearly. We're on our way actually to visit this couple, Sunghoon and Kane. They live up in just outside of Toronto in Canada, where he's doing a postdoc. We've had the privilege of walking the path of life with them for the last 4 years or so. And pretty interesting story about how he came to faith in Christ about 4 years ago, and then just continued to grow. And so we are seeking to encourage them on this journey that we're on here this week. We've gotten to travel with them a little bit as well, just to encourage them along the way, and we're so thankful for them. This guy, he's a professor down in Texas now. He got his PhD at Purdue. We watched, we've known him from the very first day that he was in the United States, and he just came back this last weekend. This was this past Sunday. He came back to visit because this is his home, and I don't know that he's come to really understand what it means to believe, but we keep challenging him. So you can pray for him. His name is Leonard. Last year at this time, we got to go to this guy's wedding. He's from Iran himself, and he's got a wild story. I don't know that I could unwind all the details for you enough for you to understand, but let's put it this way. The Lord worked marvelously in this guy's life to save him. He saved him and took him from Tehran to Beijing, where he saved him through a professor out at the University of California at Berkeley. So the Lord is infinitely great, and his story really reflects that so well. And as we get to interact with him, we just rejoice in what God is doing there. He and his wife are members of a church down in Alabama, where they're continuing to grow. I just had contact with him a few weeks ago. This is a guy who's in full-time work over in India, and it's just a joy to get to be in a position. He's a Southern grad, actually, and it's interesting just to be able to interact with people along the way and get to be involved in their lives for the glory of the Lord. So thank you. Thank you for being a part of what we get to do there at Purdue. And We appreciate your faithful partnership through your prayers, your financial support, and we're thankful that we get to minister the gospel of grace there at Purdue University. So we look forward to seeing how God's going to continue the partnership that we have to reach the nations as the Lord continues to bring them to Purdue University. Do you have any questions? Do we have time for questions? A few minutes, yes. So this
ministry got started
when a co-worker of mine, we worked together in Italy. He ended up having to go he and his wife were adopting their nephew. The judge put a radius on them of where they could live close to the biological father. And so he sought out the university that had the largest number of international students. And this was 35, maybe even 40 years ago. And then he was in this church in Lafayette, and he was ministering to international students, and then six college students, they said, hey, we'd like to have some attention too. We'd like to start a group. So the domestic students started after the international student ministry started, actually. And so it's just continued on. Yep. Is there a follow-up there?
How do the students get to become residents of the facility?
Now, that's a great question. It's just out there on the internet, and people find us. A lot of word of mouth gets done. People like our proximity to the campus. They like how quiet it is to live there. They like the environment. They like the fact that people will engage with them. So, yeah. So we have people that come through and just say, I want to live here. And we're selective as to who we take. And, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We couldn't survive if they didn't. Yeah. No. Good questions, yeah. Any other questions? Yeah. Yes, you mean the international students that we get to? Yeah, I could tell you a story about a young man who got his PhD in nuclear engineering, became a Christian, his father really pushed back. His father sent him a book about this thick about Hinduism and their views of Jesus, and was just terrified that his son was renouncing his Indianness because he was embracing Jesus. And so, yeah, there's pushback, and we try to talk about that a lot as we're sharing the gospel with people, that there's a cost to following Jesus, and their parents might not be happy about this. That's a great question. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question, too. So probably the numbers that I showed you are the last official numbers that have been published. They're the ones that are published online from last year. I would say that Purdue's down maybe 600 from there, approximately. We don't know exactly yet. But, yes, there is some reduction in the numbers, but not at Purdue. It hasn't been dramatic. What we've found over the 28 years that we've been at Purdue is that there are ups and downs every single year for some reason or another, whether it be a lack of housing, whether it be immigration, whether it be funding. Yeah. And so what we found, and what I could just say, and what we can praise God for tonight, is His faithfulness all the way along, of opening doors of opportunity. So, we recognize that, maybe the numbers aren't as grand as they once were, but the opportunities still are very, very abundant. Yeah.
People that help you and Jared?
Yes. Oh, yeah. We have a team. Yeah, I didn't take the time to introduce them all. We have there's a full time worker. There's a guy that just graduated from Purdue that's on staff with us as well. There are three other full time workers as well. One has his PhD in mechanical engineering from Purdue, and then there's a whole team of teachers that you've got. You've got what? Four teachers, yeah, four other teachers. So yeah, we try to. That's one of our great goals, is to involve other people and teach them that there's nothing more joyful than sharing the gospel with these students and spending time with them. And that's what's been really, really interesting about Crosswalk Commons, is watching people come in from the church and be doing life with the students. And the students seem to love it. They just seem to love it. Good question. Yeah.
What's your home church there, and what is that church like?
Our home church is Kossuth Street Baptist Church in Lafayette. It's a church that's been around for maybe 81 years now. I would call it a very dynamic, active church. We have... 2 years ago, we have a young preacher that just came in. He's, I think, 35, but he's very, very solid biblically, and has done a great job teaching and just teaching the students that come in. It's a multi-generational church, and so we try to pair older people with younger people, and it's been a great joy to watch that dynamic grow over the years. Great question. Yeah, because really, without the church, there's no ministry. There really isn't. And that's we preach that all the time to the students. The students wonderfully have really embraced that idea, and have many of the students, when they come in their freshman year, they go into the membership class. They listen to it, and then they join. So we have a lot of students who are members. Our relationship with the university administration is wonderful. Purdue has been a warm and welcoming place by and large. I don't think we'd have the building we have. It sits on land that the university sold to us, and it's right on campus. And so the International Students and Scholars Office has been very friendly to us. For more than 30 years, there was a believer who was the dean of international programs there, I used to say it this way: we experienced Joseph-like favor in the eyes of the administration. And so then he has retired since, but the university, I just encountered I was at a restaurant last week, and I met the Director of International Students and Scholars, and she just was very warm and thanked us for what we do. So praise God for that. Other questions? Yeah. I was just telling Ron and Barb at dinner tonight that if I had a dollar for every time I heard the word lonely, I would be a very rich man. Loneliness, I think, characterizes the generation, but in particular, even the international student who comes and is flopping like a fish out of water. They don't know. I was sitting across the table this past Saturday from the Indian student that was in the red shirt at a restaurant, and I said to him, I said, "So are you going to?" He had a packet of sour cream, but he didn't know what to do with the sour cream and his baked potato. And he had gotten almost to the end of his baked potato. I said, you're going to waste a package of sour cream? You're not going to put it on your baked potato? He goes, "Oh, is that what this is for? Oh, I'm so glad to sit across from you and know now how I'm supposed to eat my baked potato." And so that's a little example of something that happens on a daily basis to them, whether it be, you know, just a friend who understands what they're going through, friends who understands that they're far away from home and just would like to, relationship and don't know how to go after it. And so, yeah, loneliness, I think, is probably at the top of the list. So we have a lot to give to them. We have Jesus to give them, and we have genuine friendship that we can give to them from the bottom of our hearts in the name of Jesus. And so we seek to invite people. I always tell people, look, even if it's just for a cultural experience of observing what a church does, why don't you come and see what we do on a Sunday? And see that there are people from different levels of society, different economic levels, different educational levels, but we all share the same thing, and that's of love and a desire to serve Jesus. Okay. Thank you for letting me come tonight, and thank you for letting us share. It's a great privilege to be able to do that.
So the women can go where they go and the men can go where they go. Do we have prayer requests? Do we have the prayer sheet back there?
I'm not from Iowa, but I was in Iowa City 9 years ago.
Where are you?
I went to see the Herbert Hoover.
Oh, did you?
Just
okay.
Outside Iowa.